Good? All right. So gosh, it is already July 8th. July 8th already, I can't believe it. So summer is in full swing, and all around the country, high schoolers are looking for or have gotten summer jobs. Have you seen any fresh faces at your local Starbucks? Or maybe a new bagger at your grocery store? Or maybe a temporary administrative assistant at your office, right? There's a lot of high schoolers looking for summer jobs. Have you ever held a summer job? Think about that. When I was younger, I used to mow lawns for cash in the summertime. My parents, they only gave me like $3 to mow the lawn. And one summer, I went out and mowed other people's lawns, and they were giving me like $20. And I was like, my parents have been ripping me off all this time. What? I could get $20 for mowing a lawn? In high school, I also tutored elementary school kids in math. Apparently, because I did well enough in my SATs that, you know, all the other moms were like, oh, you should tutor my kid, my elementary school kid. One summer, I was a staff at a summer English camp for children, just because I grew up in America and I could speak English in Taiwan. They thought that was good enough for me to staff at a summer camp. So have you ever held a summer job? Summer jobs are great, but the thing about them is that rarely do you see yourself doing that job as a long-term career. I mean, you don't have really long-term plans for your summer job because you don't see much of a future in doing that, right? It's just for the summer. And so, knowing that, sometimes your attitude towards that job may have been just kind of half-hearted. You do that job half-heartedly because, you know, you're just in it for the money, and you're just going to work just hard enough not to get fired. Just do the bare minimum. And every day, you know, you're at your summer job and you're just counting the minutes until you can get out, you can clock out. And then you're counting down the days until the summer's over and you can quit your job. And you didn't care. You didn't care. It was just a summer job. All right? Have any of you had this experience? Sometimes I wonder, do we treat ministry like we treat a summer job or a temporary job, right? It's not our career. Right? It's not what we've trained for or what we've studied for, what we consider our specialty, right? And we don't really see a long-term future in our ministry. Not only that, maybe even worse, we're not even paid for it. Right? Instead, we're the ones paying to do ministry, right? We're the ones having to sacrifice our time and our money. Do we treat ministry like a temporary job? And if we do, does our half-hearted attitude also carry over? Today's text comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. And in it, Apostle Peter teaches us that, you know, ministry, it's more than just volunteer work. It's more than a part-time or temporary job. Ministry is actually a way of showing love. Love for others, love for God. It's a way of showing love. It's not a part-time job. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4? We're going to be reading verses 7 through 11. First Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that it would encourage us and also exhort us and edify us and help us to see ministry in a different light. Lord, ministry is not volunteer work. It's not a summer job. Lord, ministry is a calling. It's a way of showing our love for others and for you. So, Father, I pray that you would press this truth deep into our heart this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we start about talking about the different ways that we can serve and do ministry, I'd like us to spend some time kind of reorienting away from this part-time job mentality that we might bring with us into ministry, and instead take a look at it from a biblical perspective. Okay, so Peter says, "The end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." So he starts off this little section about serving and ministry by reminding us the end is at hand. Right? The end is at hand. Right? It's kind of a weird way to start. The end is at hand. Because our time is short, right? Because the Lord is about to return, right? We need to act now. And then he says, for maximum effectiveness. Right? This idea that we need to act and do our best because the end is near, it's kind of counterintuitive, don't you think? I mean, as we talked about it, in a summer job, or any temp job, really, and we often use it as an excuse not to do our best work. Not to do our best work. I mean, the end is near anyway. I'm not going to be staying in this job long term, right? I'm about to quit in a few short months. I'm about to quit anyway. So I'm just going to put in my time and do the bare minimum. A limited time frame makes us feel like our investment and our impact will also be limited. But for those of us with eternal life, looking at things from an eternal perspective, God, the Bible tells a much different story. The Bible says every moment is precious. Every opportunity to grow and serve is a gift. Even though we may not see the value now, we can be storing up treasures in heaven. Therefore, even though our time may be short, even though the end of all things is at hand, let us not use that as an excuse, but as an encouragement to do the best that we can with the limited time that we've got. Lifeway Research did a poll in 2011, and it suggested that the average pastor's tenure at a local church is only 3.6 years long. Okay, that's according to Lifeway Research. 3.6 years. That's not a long time. I mean, that's not even a full presidential term. 3.6 years. According to Lifeway back in 2011, other studies and polls have shown the numbers to be a little higher, to be between 5 to 7 years for the average pastor's tenure at a local church. 5 to 7 years, it's still not a long time. Right? It's much shorter than the average career person's time at an employer, right? 5 to 7 years. Okay, now here's a major disclaimer. I'm not thinking of leaving anytime soon, in case some of you are like, yes, 3.6 years almost. I'm not thinking of leaving anytime soon. My point I'm trying to make is this. Does knowing this statistic make me just give up? And just say, well, you know what? I've only got 1.6 years left on my lease here. I'm just going to phone it in and do the bare minimum effort so as not to get fired. Or should this be my attitude because the end is near? Right? No. You wouldn't be pleased. God wouldn't be pleased. If I'm only going to be here for a couple more years, I'm going to make the best of those years because I want to make a difference. I want to leave a legacy. I'm not just here biding my time, collecting a paycheck. I really believe that God called me here for a reason, for this reason, right? To do my very, very best. My ministry is a calling, not a temporary job. So how does this translate to the rest of you? Perhaps God has called you to a season of serving in the church. Maybe it's your month to teach Sunday school. Maybe you're leading a small group for a year. That's your year commitment. At my previous church, actually both of my previous churches, deacons had term limits. They were 3 years long, and you could serve two consecutive terms, and then you were forced to take a break for a term. Right. Limited time frames, limited time. Rather than just phone it in, dribble out the clock, you know, we're called to use our time wisely. Use your time wisely in whatever season of service God has placed you. Start something new and exciting. Train up upcoming leaders. Get to know people. Invest. Invest. Just because your time may be short doesn't mean your impact has to be limited. Verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So in this verse, Apostle Peter gives us the command to keep on loving one another. He's actually paraphrasing Proverbs 10:12 to make this point. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. So this is not to say that our love covers our sins in a salvific, atoning way, but that our love for one another binds us together as a community, and our forgiving attitude towards each other makes it so we don't hold each other's sin against the other. Some of Jesus' last words to his disciples was pretty similar. He says this in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Clearly, this call to love one another, it's on Jesus' mind. He keeps saying it over and over, love one another. It's kind of a big deal in the Bible. And it helps us reorient our thinking regarding ministry. Because doing ministry and serving one another, it's not just a job, but a way that we can show God's love to one another. Right. Peter says, love one another earnestly. Love one another earnestly. Those who have done marriage counseling before may be very familiar with Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. And his basic thesis is that there are five primary ways that couples can show and receive love. Right? There's words of affirmation. There's quality time, giving and receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Right? So five love languages. And in ministry, we do much the same things. Right? We encourage one another through words and prayer. Isn't that words of affirmation? We spend quality fellowship time together. We give gifts and offerings. We serve one another with our hands, and we hug one another with our arms. Rather than thinking of ministry as a job full of tasks to do and deadlines to keep, I think it's much more helpful to think of ministry as a way of showing love, loving God and loving others, just in different languages, just different languages, showing love. So who is called to this lifestyle of love? Who should be doing ministry? Verse 10, As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So according to Apostle Peter, as each has received a gift. So who should be serving? Everyone who has received a gift. Everyone who has been gifted. And how many believers have been gifted? Each. Everyone. Everyone has been gifted. So everyone should be serving. All have received a gift, so all are expected to serve. Apostle Paul says the same thing. 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each, everybody, all believers. Romans 12, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So not only does the Bible say it, everybody is supposed to be served. Guess what? Our bulletin says it as well. Okay, so pull out your bulletin, take a look. I'm going to show you where it is, okay? Not only is the Bible saying it, it says it in our bulletin. Look under the announcements. There is a big media announcement right there, the second from the bottom. And it's there every single week. And you probably don't look at it, or maybe you've never even read it. You don't even know it's there, but I'm going to point it out to you right now, right here, okay? ECCSKC believes that every person who is born again needs to discover his or her spiritual gift so that they can promote the health and unity of his church. For our church to fulfill his mission, a believer must be responsible for his kingdom ministry. Talk to Pastor Jim, Elder David Chang, Deacons Brody or Derek about ministry placement. We currently need people to serve in the worship team, welcome team, preparing communion, and youth ministry, and also bulletin team. Okay. So it's right there in the bulletin, right? So don't just take your Bible's word for it. Take the bulletin's word for it too, right? The point is this, okay? All are gifted, so all should be serving. All as good stewards of God's varied grace. This grace that he's given us, right? Everybody's been recipients of his grace. It's not ours to hoard. We're meant to be stewards of the gifts that he's given us, the blessings, the monetary funds, and the talents. We're to be stewards of this in service of others. In service of others for the common good, Paul says. Well, I'm not gifted at all, so I've got nowhere to serve. Baloney, baloney. Everyone at least has one gift. You just have to discover it. You just have to find it. Take those spiritual gift surveys. It's a good start. And you may find that your personality is more predisposed to a certain type of ministry. But the best way, the absolute best way to discover your gifts, guess what? It's to go to your local church and just try different ministries. Try things. Try different ministries. And ask yourself, did you find that life-giving? Ask other people, were they blessed by it? Start small and then work your way up. You know, nobody's born a pastor. You start off teaching some Sunday school classes. I can do that. Teach a Sunday school class. And then you go and take a couple classes in seminary. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And then you grind it out doing youth ministry for a couple years. I can do that. Maybe God's calling me to be a pastor. Nobody's born a missionary. You start off by sharing your testimony to your friends and then your relatives. Hey, I can do that. Right. And then you start feeling this burden for those who haven't heard, and so you go on a short-term mission trip. I can do that. And then you find this great joy and fulfillment in sharing the gospel, and so you want to do more of it. So you hook up with a mission agency. And then you see what they have to offer, if there are any trips that you can go on or any training that you can take. Right? You hook up with a mission agency. I can do that. Maybe God's calling me to be a missionary. Nobody's born a worship leader. Or you start up picking up a guitar and just messing around in youth group. I can do that. Or you get asked to play at summer conference. I can do that. And then you read some books and you learn some theory behind leading worship. And then you go and you get asked to give it a try. Hey, I can do that. Maybe God's calling me to be a worship leader. As your confidence and your conviction grows, so will your commitment and your calling. But you'll never know unless you try. You'll never know unless you try. All are gifted. All should serve. Okay? You just have to try it. Maybe you'll think, hey, I can do this. I can do this. So, just a quick recap. When should we serve? Now, for the end is near. What is serving? It's a way of showing love for one another, loving one another earnestly. Who should serve? Everyone. Everyone, as each one is gifted. Okay? So let's talk about how. How can we serve practically? How can we actually do this thing called serving? We can show hospitality. Verse 9, 1 Peter verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. This is a gift. Okay, not everybody can just do this naturally. This is a gift. It requires a lot of grace to pull this off. Can you believe there are some people that actually love having people over to their houses? There are actually people that love doing this. Right? They don't mind the cooking and the cleaning. They don't grumble about the mess that gets left behind after hosting. People just love showing hospitality in this very physical, tangible way. In the ancient Near East, think about Bible times and back in the near in the Middle East, there were no hotels, right? There were no inns. There were no hotels, no inns. There were no Motel 5s that you could just sleep over at on your way to your destination. Not only that, travel was very slow, right? Often by camel, donkey, whatever, and often along this treacherous desert roads. There were no pit stops, no gas stations where you could just buy a soda or fill up your canteen with water. Okay. And so there was this code, this custom. It's a sacred duty of hospitality. There was a sacred duty of hospitality to welcome people into your home and treat them like family. Everybody did it, and everybody was a recipient of this custom. Welcome people into your home. You'd give them water, right? If they're on a journey, you would give them water from your well. Or if they stop by, you feed them the best of your food. You shelter them. You give them the master bedroom. We see this in Genesis 18. Abraham, he comes across these three strangers. Okay, in Genesis 18, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him, Abraham. And when he saw them, Abraham ran to the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the earth and said, "Oh, Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet. Right? Rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." And so they said, "Do as you have said." Okay. Hebrews 13 says a similar thing. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Wow. Showing hospitality. Maybe you're serving angels. Jesus also taught that hospitality towards others was akin to showing hospitality to God himself. Matthew 25, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So hospitality, it's not just a list of chores to do. Cook the rice, order the lunch, take out the garbage, wash the dishes, vacuum the floors. No, that's not the essence of hospitality. It's not a job. Okay, hospitality is a sacred act of love and service. Sometimes the angels, unawares. Sometimes to the Lord himself. But always to fellow men made in the image of God. Show hospitality. Easy way to serve. Well, not easy, but obvious. Okay, speaking. First part of verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. So speaking is another way of serving. And I take this to encompass preaching and teaching in all its forms. Sharing insights into the Word of God. In Paul's terminology, Paul, you know, he's got this list of the spiritual gifts. Peter doesn't really do that, but Paul, he has these lists of spiritual gifts. I think this speaking would cover gifts of prophecy, gifts of teaching, gifts of exhortation, gifts of wisdom and knowledge, possibly even the interpretation of tongues. So the point is that there are many different ways to give words of affirmation and encouragement to one another. There are many different ways to serve by speaking. It doesn't have to be just from here, from the pulpit. It can be informal, in a start up a weekly Bible study and just share what God has taught you over the week. You can be teaching children to love Scripture at a young age by making the Bible stories come alive. It could be having an accountability partner and exhorting them to purity and living a godly lifestyle. It could be sharing your gospel to your coworker. As many ways as the tongue is a restless evil and can set fire to a huge forest, the tongue can also be healing and life-giving to exhort, encourage, and edify the body of Christ. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Okay, so this last one, whoever serves, diakone. So this word, serve, it encompasses everything else. And there are a lot of moving parts to keep a church running. All right, just consider this. Think about all these jobs that we don't really think about or even appreciate. Okay, there are people who have to compile and print these bulletins every single week, and somebody has to go and fold them all. We have finance workers who count the money, make sure our budgets are in line. Someone has to sign the checks to keep the lights on. We have people sweep and set up every Sunday morning, early, maybe before you're even awake. We have people purchasing the communion elements and then setting that up and dragging that altar here every month. We have nursery workers watching babies so that parents can go to worship. There are evangelism teams, Stephen Ministry, youth group, children's program teachers. There's summer conference committee members, trustees to watch over and take care of and make repairs to our church office building, etc., etc., etc. That's serving, diakone. And in all these ministries, all these ministers, whoever serves, let them serve by the strength that God supplies. Okay. And all these things, all these people, we are to serve in the strength that God provides. Not in our own strength do we serve, but in humility we rely on him. We pray to him and we trust in him. We need to rely on God. Why? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the second part of verse 11. To him belong glory and dominion and ever, forever and ever. Amen. So that God gets the glory. Right? So that he gets the credit for it. God doesn't get glory if we hire professionals to do the job, right, with their skill and experience and expertise. He gets the glory when broken people, empowered by the Holy Spirit, step out in faith and serve one another. For some reason, in the economy of God, in the light of eternity, that brings God great glory. When messed up, broken, insufficient people like us do his work, that brings God glory. So, to sum it all up, when do we serve? Now. What is serving? Acts of love. Who should serve? Everyone. How should we serve? Show hospitality, speak God's word, everything else in between. And why should we serve? So God gets the glory. So there we go. No more excuses. Ministry isn't a summer job that's over when it's over. It's a lifelong commitment that we will continue to learn and grow in for the rest of our lives. But it starts right now. Find your role, serve faithfully to the glory of God. May the Lord bless the preaching of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed messed up, broken people with doubts and insecurities, and we feel like we're not good enough. But God, somehow you get the glory when we step up. Father, I pray that you would embolden us, that you would impress upon us that we need to serve. It doesn't have to start big, Lord. We can start small and work our way up. But whatever it is, Lord, help us to be faithful and to trust in you, in your strength, the strength that you provide. Lord, thank you for all those who have served us. Thank you for all those who are serving. And we know that we are recipients of their hard work, but ultimately recipients of your grace. And Father, help us to also likewise show grace and love to others. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Hi, will you guys stand with us? Let's sing this last song in response. This is a new song. We haven't done it before, but I think it's fitting, given kind of the message that we just heard about serving. And I know time is precious. You know, time is, they say, like, time is money, and you can't buy more time. And it's all true, which is why when we do take time to gather to worship, to, you know, pray to God, to serve one another, that God receives glory. And so this song really just talks about how, you know, to build our lives, to live our lives with God at the center, and Jesus as our firm foundation is an amazing way to live. And so let me teach you real quick just how it goes, and then we'll sing it together. So the verse goes, it's pretty simple, goes, worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Verse 2 is the same. The chorus declares God's holiness. It says, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And then the bridge sings, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Simple song, the words are good, so let's sing it like a prayer. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. So holy and holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Verse 1 again, worthy of every song. Oh, worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy and holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. Holy and holy. There is no one beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
build a life upon your love. Come on, let's sit down and I will build my life. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you.
For some of us, I pray that it would give us words that maybe we haven't been able to put together so eloquently. And that indeed, God, these lives that you have redeemed through your Son Jesus Christ are no longer our own. And I pray that that wouldn't be something that we weep or mourn, but something that we joyfully celebrate. God, that we've been bought with a price, and not just that, but we've been charged to love and to bring your gospel to this world, and to one of the greatest ways we can do it is to love one another, to serve one another well. And I pray that for those of us who lack that confidence, thinking that there's just nothing we have to offer, God, I pray that you would eliminate those lies that the enemy has allowed to pushed into our minds, into our hearts. And God, that you inspire us again with that confidence and that peace, knowing that, God, again, that you have bought us with a price, and you've given us a purpose. And I pray that you would help us, encourage us to find out what that is. And when we find it, I pray that that joy of knowing that we are, however big, however small, doing work that would not only bring you glory, but that would also serve and somehow bring others to you as well. So God, we thank you for this song and this reminder that indeed, upon not our fame, not our fortunes, not our personality, not our skills or anything like that, where we build our lives, but it's upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, that when we build our lives upon that, that indeed, no matter what may come, what the enemy may throw our way, God, we will not be shaken. So again, we just thank you for this time to worship you and to lift you high. God, you are more than worthy. More than worthy of every song, every Sunday, every day. God, we thank you that you are more than worthy and that we can sing these songs knowing that they are not wasted, but they rise as a fragrant offering to you. We love you, God, we thank you. I pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's have a seat. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. The weather's really warmed up. We're really in the midst of the summer right now. And just a quick few announcements for this morning. We are on sort of a summer schedule. And so the fellowship time, the snacks won't be there for the next couple of weeks. It'll resume again once summer ends and in the beginning of September. But we still encourage you after service to still mingle and catch up with one another. The adult Sunday school is continuing in the back room here. And as for the youth, they're doing something a little bit different this summer. They're doing this summer program called Bridges, and it's gonna combine both the youth and some of the kids downstairs from 11 to 11:30 for a time of just some games and worship and service project, hopefully towards the end of the summer. And also we know that the ladies went on a retreat to Vancouver not too long ago. The men also have a retreat, and it's going to be on August 10th to 12th. If you are interested, contact Sir Sane or Pastor Jim for the retreat itself. It's only going to cost about $75 for each of the men, so we encourage you to register for that. Finally, we also have the summer retreat going on the end of this summer. Today is the last day for registration. If you are interested, registration is going to be in the hallway. Our speaker this year is Pastor Rocky Seto, and he's spoken in our midst before. He used to work for a small football team in this state, so some of you might know him a little bit. Other than that, Pastor Jim.
So we got about 5 minutes. Let's spend a couple minutes just reflecting on the message and also maybe ways that God might be calling us to serve. Heavenly Father, forgive us if we have approached serving like a job, like a chore. Forgive us if we have come to our ministries with half-hearted attitudes. Lord, we want to give you our very best. We want to do our very best in the limited amount of time that we have here. Father, encourage us to just to find our calling. Encourage us to step out in faith and to try different ministries. Lord, we know there's so much to do, not just in this church, but also in this world, that needs to hear and see your love in a tangible way. Father, let us be your hands and feet. Thank you, Lord, for this this calling and this commandment to love one another. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. We're dismissed.